مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected honorable listeners of مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. We welcome you to this program. It is our interview segment, and we have Haji Abu Bakr Rawat today, who's going to be giving us good advices, inshallah, on death. Advice, good advice on death and other aspects, inshallah. The date today, remember, is the 14th of Dhul Qa'dah, 1445. This is in South Africa. Other areas of the world, it is the 15th of Dhul Qa'dah, Masjid al-Aqsa, the Haramain Sharifain, in Saudi Arabia. It is the 15th of Dhul Qa'dah. Let's welcome Haji Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Haji Zahid Sahab, and the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba. Hope you are in a good spirit, and Allah Ta'ala keep you and give you complete shifa kamila ajila daima. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmadu wa nasalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. Let us correct our intention that we are listening to the advisors of Deen solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with firm intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us with 1,000 rakats of nafil salah. Let us always, when listening to the radio before, make this intention, inshallah, for all those we are getting 5 times a day is 5,000 rewards of nafil salah. A mu'min is always greedy for rewards. He looks for every opportunity to gain rewards. May Allah Ta'ala give me first the tawfiq and all of us. Amin.
Amin. Haji Sahib, you call me Haji Zaid. Maybe, inshallah, someone's the wise, we go for Haji, inshallah, one day. The listeners are complaining. They're saying, it sounds like I just became baligh. So they said, we have Haji Sahib here who's Hakim Sahib, but he's not giving us any recipes or nothing for cure, inshallah.
Inshallah, we did speak about it 3-4 weeks ago, about Adu Pak, Arad Pak, and Miti Pak. Alhamdulillah, Hakim Sahib, Malvi Yusuf used to say, let's start on the 20th of May for 40 days till the end of June. But Allah shukr, last week, my two workers were coughing constantly. There was a half a minute interval between the two. So I went to the cupboard to see what can I give them to relieve them of their cough. So I found mustard oil. And alhamdulillah, it worked like magic. I gave them a teaspoon of honey and put 5 drops. And the one that was coughing more, I put 7 drops. Allah's lak shukr. Within a few minutes, the cough subsided. And then one Hakim I met was telling me that people that snore a lot, the partners have a lot of difficulty. So put your head at the end of the bed and put 3 drops in each nostril. Allah shukr, whoever I've given it to this, alhamdulillah, clears the passage, the breathing passage. So you breathe easily. And those that sleep on the left-hand side, try and avoid sleeping. Try and sleep more on the right-hand side, the sunnah way. Inshallah, you're snoring and that will go away. And Hakim Yusuf used to tell us about the white oil, which is very effective. I'm just trying to get the person that's still making it. It's very, very effective. You take a quarter glass of water, and you put 5 drops in that, and it clears the phlegm completely. And your breathing also becomes easy. Sure. So Allah has left a lot of shifa and plenty of things. It's only for us to use it. Inshallah, in this coming week, we'll open up a group on natural remedies. So people can post on this. So whoever is sick and that can read from there, inshallah, can benefit from it as well.
It's vitally important, because we see this push and this force that we must take this, we must take that, take this vaccine. But it's like just a push away from the natural remedies. When Allah has placed shifa, then shifa doesn't mean we have to go and put haram in our bodies and go and put more harm. Look at the vaccines and the they used to say anti-vaxxers, but now all the everything is being spilled, and even the vaccine organizations, they are admitting AstraZeneca. Yeah. They've pulled their COVID vaccine out. And it's just playing with your health, something that is totally irreplaceable. So with regards to this natural remedies, this, I'm almost certain, Ajisab, you can confirm this. There's no side effects.
No side effects. It either cures but doesn't do damage. Hakim always used to tell me, whenever you take antibiotics, what antibiotic actually does, it suppresses the phlegm. That's why you come up with ammonia, double ammonia. I remember many years ago, I felt very sick. For the first time, I slept 7 days. And when I went to the chemist, he gave me like bullet-sized antibiotics. He said, this is your result. It will cure you. So I looked at it. I said, look, if I'm not going to take it, I'm going to return it. And I remember that time it was about 70 rand each tablet. So a physician came at night, it made me go for x-rays. And he showed me in the x-rays, he says, you see all the phlegm here by the chest. And so if you don't take these tablets, you're going to get very ill. And you're going to go into ammonia, they'll have to hospitalize you. So I took one tablet, I started spewing blood. So immediately I put it away. I started doing my own research. And I found Hakim Saab told me about apple cider vinegar. So immediately I started. And the amount of phlegm that came out. And alhamdulillah, 3 days I was... And I returned it too. He refused to take it. Say, our policy. I said, no. I told you from the beginning. But eventually agreed. But Allah shukar, the natural remedies, there's a lot of shifa in it. And if you read your Surah Fatiha 7 times and blow it in it, definitely with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will give you cure.
And it's just, it becomes stressful because if you just see, I know when one of our children were born in madrasa, then we told the ustad, Mulana Devlasab, Mulana Abdullah Devlasab, Tamut Barakat, I met him last night also. So, he said to me, when I said it was a C-section, he looked at me like astonished. He said, airlines, they don't have C-section and all of this. They just give birth just like that. What's the need to? I said, we didn't opt for it. They push you to do it now. But sadly, so many people out of, they choose to do it. It's not that the doctor is forced to, said it's emergency or whatever. They're choosing to do it. But what I'm getting to is that this move away from the natural system. And then we have to face so much of difficulties because of what they have to do, the anesthetic that goes through your back and your spine, and damages so much of aspects. It's just harmful. What's the reason, Ajisab, that they're taking us away from this? I mean, to give birth, you could just be a nurse, or you could be any lady, a neighbor, midwife, who could just come and assist. I see some places they still have it, but they have to be a qualified. They've got to have their... But it's such a simple procedure. But they make it so difficult, and then you become so scared because of the expenses and this and that. What's the reason?
No, it's money-making system. That's why today you have to be very cautious. Like I just remembered 2 weeks ago, the youngest grandchild was sick. So they went to the doctor, please immediately admit her to the clinic. So I said, no, go for a second opinion. Second opinion said, everybody child that goes to this doctor is sending them straight to the clinic. So after Mashwara, so I told him, look, I'm going to do this one amal. Inshallah, she don't need to be hospitalized. So I did the amal. I went out and gave sadaqah. They took her to the clinic. The doctor checked. They said, no, it's not necessary to come here and put the child to stress. Just go and get this medicine from the dispensary. And alhamdulillah, the next day she was perfect, running around and as normal. So we always have to be careful because this is, and especially when you're on medical aid. they enjoy that and to send you to the clinics and that. But we have to also use alternatives and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read our two rakat, salat al-hajat, make dua, give out sadaqah. And inshallah, Allah will give the cure.
Just one question before we move on. So sometimes we have people who go through this and the parents are very sick. And now they're caught between two roads. One is if they don't, most of the time the old people, they don't like to go to hospital. Please don't send me to hospital. I'd rather die in my home. But then also it is the child who's worried about the health of the... Now, sometimes you're forced to take your parent to the hospital. But when, how do you make that decision? Like when do you say, okay, now it's, we don't have a there's no choice in the matter, we have to do it.
Allah Ta'ala works in mysterious ways. I can tell you from my own experience. My mother, when she had COVID, and at 3 o'clock in the morning she fell. So my wife heard, so she woke me up, she said, go, Ma fell. So immediately we picked up, put on the bed. And the first words were from my mouth, please don't send me to hospital. But I had to get the paramedics to check her. And when she saw the paramedics, she went into a state of being frightened that we're going to send her to hospital. So when they checked the sugar, it went to between 28 and 29. And her oxygen level dropped to 40. So that nurse immediately and the gentleman, the paramedics told me she has to be hospitalized. So I said, do me a favor, you got oxygen? She said, yes. I said, right, put it full blast. And I went quietly because she was a little bit hard of hearing. I went to her, I told her, look, Ma, we'll do all the treatment at home. You don't have to worry. Whatever we have to do, we'll do it at home. Immediately she was relaxed, calm. So I told her to take the sugar reading again. The sugar reading dropped to 10. And the oxygen level went up to 80. Now she was calm. She knew she was relaxed. She's not going to hospital. So immediately one of the family persons phoned the doctor. He came. He prescribed a drip. We put the drip on. And only thing she was uncomfortable was she couldn't go to the toilet. So she didn't want to wear napkins. But we forced her. We said no. The one day she went to the other bathroom because her bathroom was locked with a mirror and the pedestal. She went to the other bathroom and she fell. Allah shukr, she didn't. So when they were bathing her, they saw all bruise marks. Said, Ma, where did you go? She said, I can't. I wasn't feeling comfortable with a napkin, so I went to the toilet and I fell. But Allah shukr, she didn't get hurt. But alhamdulillah, till she passed away, she was comfortable in that condition. And Allah shukr, the doctor used to come on time. And the amazing part, this doctor that was serving her, after she passed away, he checked her, declared her deceased. I went to him, I told him, Doc, you came about 25 visits. What do I owe you? He just looked at me and he shook his head. He said, this is also my mother. I did it for love for her. So that there's absolutely no charges from my side. I did it purely for love of, she was like my mother also. My mother passed away, so I had an opportunity to serve your mother. So you get good human beings in the world also. Money means nothing to them. So Allah bless all these people that are serving the community and doing their utmost best to make them comfortable. But really the solution is you can do it at home. It's not impossible. And then we used to take shifts. Everybody used to sit by her bedside 2-3 hours. They're tired. Somebody else comes. And that system, you can do it. It's not impossible. So Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all those that are sick and save us from going to hospitals.
I mean. Gee, it is a nightmare. And sometimes people just want to get rid of the responsibility. And how can we even call it a responsibility? It's something we're supposed to do with love. And these are good examples, good reminders for us. I just happen to speak on death also.
I attended one janaza. Janaza was very, very huge. And the person that was, the Maulana was reading, give a beautiful example. He said every day, sit on the bed before going to sleep, make muhasaba, and think every day that this is my last day of life. And think how when a person passes away, see, you must have seen how people pass away. People standing by your bedside reading Quran, reading, making zikr. So remind yourself every day that it is my time to leave the world. Then he gave the example of a person that passed away that committed 99 murders. Just as a reminder for all of us, we must have heard it, that how he went to go and seek for forgiveness. So he met a priest. The priest told him, you murdered 99 people, there's no chance for you. So he took out his knife and he killed the priest. So his list was 100. So he went to another village. The pious person told him, go to that village, the next village. There is a pious person there, more pious than me. Go there to him. Inshallah, he'll show you the way of how to get your forgiveness. So on the way, two angels came. The angel of Jannat and Jahannam to take his ruh. So they're both arguing. So they went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lay the case. So Allah ta'ala said, all right, if he's closer to the place where he was going to seek forgiveness, the angel of Jannat must take his soul. And if he's further from the place of forgiveness, the angel of Jahannam must take his soul. So they agreed. So Allah ta'ala commanded the earth to narrow. So he was closer to the place of forgiveness. So the angel of Jannah took his soul. So this is to show us that we never give up on the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always have full faith that Allah ta'ala is the doer. And he says, with that in mind, and read your dua, Allahumma barikli fil maut wa fima ba'd al maut. Also 25 times before going to sleep. So it reminds you all the time. And janazas you attend, this always reminds you. And regularly go and visit the Qabristan, all the deceased that are there. They look forward to your coming of visiting them and reading where they're covered. And then I remember Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, always used to say, whenever he attended janazas, he used to stand in one corner, never talk. He said minimum he used to finish 600 Qul Wallahu Ahad. And immediately pass on the sawab to the deceased and the people of that Qabristan. So these are all lessons we learn from the pious predecessors. Then he gave us example. We went yesterday to visit a sick person. And he stayed a lot in the company of the mashayikh. So he told us about his, in 1979, he went for Hajj with Malam Musulla Rahmatullah Alayh. And he said, Hazrat came to visit South Africa. So they took him to Cape Town. They told him, Hazrat, we want to take you on Table Mountain. He said, kya dekhna hai wahan? He said, no, it's beautiful. You'll see Cape Town. You'll see the sea. He said, when we come to India, you send us to Taj Mahal and Red Fort and all that. So we also want to show you. He said, theek hai. So Hazrat climbed in the cart and came down. So Hazrat told them, asked them, what did you learn from this cable cart coming, going up and coming down? He says, do you know better? So he asked them three times before he gave his answer. He said, you see the cable, it reminds you of Pul Sirat. Although it says thinner than a hair, but going up, I thought of death, that Allah, we have to pass Pul Sirat. So when I saw the cable, and what does the cart remind you? He says that the cart is big. He said, doesn't it remind you of the qabr? That although the cart is big, you divide it in two. That's going to be your size of your qabr. So that cart reminded you, you're going to lay one day in the qabr. So the lesson you learn from the cable cart is that pull sirat and death, and you're going to lay in your qabr. This was the foresight and the knowledge of our kabirin. Everything and anything they learned and took lessons from it. That's how we should be. Like the Prophet Mahmud Sahib wrote that kitab on everything that you see reminds you of Allah. The different creations, the different trees, how Allah Ta'ala created different people, different tribes. So there's not a microsecond that we cannot think of Allah. by just looking at the creation of Allah, the buildings that we see. Allah gave this person knowledge to build this beautiful building. So these are how our lives is. And then he gave us a story when they were in Hajj in 1979, what was it? One lady got lost from the group. So they were sent out a search party. But he said, look at the barakat of Hazrat. We just told him. He said, don't worry. Abhi mil jayega usko. And as they came out of the hotel, he's staying at Aisha Police Hotel, which was the nearest to Jamarat. And as they came out, Hazrat told him, there's the woman. She lost her direction. So one of the family persons, when they saw her standing and crying, said, what happened? He said, I don't know where's the hotel. She said, no, don't cry. So they told him, take her inside. So, and as they were going, there was a huge group of Iranians. They came with sticks. And everybody that came in front of them, they were pushing them. So many people got injured. So they told them, just hold on a few minutes. Somebody's making way for us. And he said, it was a few minutes, and alhamdulillah, the way was clear. So they finished pelting everything. So as I told him also, pelt this, that is a command of Allah, make your intention that Allah has commanded you to pelt the shaitan, and this is the, every time you throw the stone, make the intention, that is the command of Allah. So when we came back, as I told him, say, Khidr alayhi salam came to me while we were walking. So he told me, climb on my back, I'll take you. So he said, as I told him, no. So he said, don't just stand a few minutes, I'll clear the way for you. Saint Khidr alayhi salam cleared the way for us. He said, this I heard myself. I didn't hear from somebody because we were together in the group. He said, this is the love of our Kabirin, that Allah made it possible, every situation that they could go through. And he emphasized on one thing, on family ties. That how much of us keep family ties. And he gave us one example. He said, today, in our circles, we have people that are good orators, the celebrities, they are great authors. The first thing they in the book they write, family ties, but they don't keep their ties. Then our late Sheikh Rahmatullahi always used to say, the ulama, some of them in our circles, used to say, whatever we tell you, do. Don't worry what we do. He said, in deen, it doesn't work like that. He said, you first practice and then you preach. Then he emphasized a lot. He says, you must always say, Allah, give me first the tawfiq to do this amal, and give the tawfiq to the others also to do this amal. So like that, and then we sat there, we were hungry also, because we didn't have breakfast before we left. So he instructed the children, please bring lunch for them. So they brought dumplings and sugar beans and steak. Alhamdulillah, we had a good meal. After that, he instructed the son, go and see what's in the garden. Go and take off whatever's in the garden. And a packet of rice. So when we came out, there was two trays of eggs for me and my friend. A whole box of papri, fresh from the garden. And each one was given a packet of rice, 10 kilo. So you see, this was the habit of our Sheikh, Rahmatullah Alayh, Mullah Masullah, that whenever somebody came to visit, he always gave the gift to that person in appreciation that this person took out time to come and visit me. And he always gave them a gift. So these were our Kabirin. So there's so much to learn. This trip, we learned so much from him. And he gave us a lot of incidents. Inshallah, in the weeks to come, we'll discuss it. May Allah Ta'ala give me first the tawfiq to make amal. We've got a few minutes left. Inshallah, we'll make dua. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammad kama sallaita ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanata wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina adhab al-nar. ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عني. ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا رحمن يا رحيم يا كريم يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير خلق كلهم. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت. إنه لا يضل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. تبارك ربنا وتعاليت. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. والله فقف ذا أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
والله ماسي أن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله قاعد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا الله وإذا the Muslims are oppressed, give them victory over the kuffar, the brothers in Palestine. Those that have passed away, give them the highest stages of Jannah.
Ameen.
Those that are in difficulties, remove their difficulties. And all those that are oppressed in the world, Ya Allah, grant them victory. Allah, you know our needs better than we. Fulfill everybody's needs, Ya Allah. To the listeners, whatever difficulties they have, fulfill their needs, Ya Allah. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. Jazallahu anna sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahluh. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير خلق كلهم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
أمين أمين. جزاكم الله خيرا حاج صاحب. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
مركز صحابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.